From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. President Trump's State of the Union speech is scheduled for Tuesday, February 5th. It's at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Cap Radio will bring you live coverage. You might have heard this, too, that Stacey Abrams, the Democratic nominee for governor in Georgia, will give the Democratic response. And California's Attorney General, Javier Becerra, has been chosen to give the Spanish language response. It was the job of a California lawmaker, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, to extend or withhold the invitation to President Trump to address Congress. And in these recent federal government shutdown weeks and the standoff that happened between the president and Speaker Pelosi, California's political power has been surging. In fact, this is a peak power time for the California delegation. According to the focus of an article today in the LA Times, it was written by Sarah D. Weyer. She is here for this week's Capital Chat, joining us by phone from Washington, D.C. Hi, Sarah. Glad to have you back on Insight.
Thanks for having me.
So give me some context for understanding that California is at a peak political power point in history right now.
You know, we see ebbs and flows of power here in Washington, but nothing's quite like what we're seeing right now in the California delegation. For the first time in U.S. history, both the House Speaker and the House Minority Leader represent the same state. And if that's not enough, you know, California also has a representative on every single House committee. They chair four House committee panels. They lead 20 subcommittees. And they also represent two of the most powerful diversity-based caucuses here on Capitol Hill.
The article is titled, "Thanks to Nancy Pelosi, Californians Dominate the New House Like Never Before." Part of that story is also, as you just referenced, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Congressman Adam Schiff is part of the story, but this is also about sheer numbers, isn't it?
It is. California has the largest delegation in Washington. There's 20 more people than even Texas has. And so because of that, they're able to be in so many places at once. Delegation's also lopsided politically. There's only 7 Republicans compared to 46 Democrats. And so with Democrats being in power in the House, there are a lot of positions for the Californians to kind of slip into right now.
I want to go back to something you just said, that Californians now sit on all 20 of the House committees named so far. How unusual is that, and how influential is it?
They're the only state in the country where they have a member on every committee. I went through and counted, and you know, Texas and Florida and New York, which have also very large delegations, they're all missing at least one or two committees. And it's important because when the delegation can meet together and they can discuss priorities, and then they have people who can give a voice to those priorities on every single committee.
Then it needs to translate to votes, too. So it'll be interesting, won't it, Sarah, to see how these numbers and the influence correlate to legislation that is either heavily debated and or passed?
It really will. I mean, the Democrats in the delegation and the Republicans in the delegation have a long history of sticking together, not necessarily sticking together as Californians, but sticking together along party lines. And so, you know, Nancy Pelosi knows that if she needs legislation about California, she can look at those 45 other Democrats, and most of them are going to be with her. And that's a really big source of power for any leader, to be able to point and say, well, 20% of the caucus is already with me.
You quote Anna Eshoo, Congresswoman from Menlo Park, saying, "Nancy Pelosi's been in the vineyard for a long time, and she's promoted California. She's helped bring so many of these members into Congress." You also use the phrase that her election as Speaker, quote, "dramatically magnified that influence." So if we just had the number of Californians in the House that we do, how might that be different if not for Nancy Pelosi's leadership and power?
You would probably still see them having a presence on many committees, but you wouldn't likely see as many in leadership. California Democrats hold about 30% of the positions of leadership right now in the House on the Democratic side. And, you know, some of those positions are ones that are elected by the entire caucus, and others are ones that Pelosi gets to pick. And the ones that she gets to handpick help make the committee assignments for the entire Democratic caucus.
So I mentioned Adam Schiff. He leads the House Select Intelligence Committee. And Maxine Waters is the new head of the House Financial Services Committee. There are a number of others. How accessible is everybody so far, Sarah, in these first number of weeks? And I realize it's been a tumultuous time and people have been in meetings different than what the normal schedule might be. But when you call or email, are they responding?
Yes, very much so. You know, that's the benefit of having a reporter up here on the Hill, to be honest, as the San Francisco Chronicle does as well. We get to know the members very well, and they want to be responsive to their constituents back home, and they know we're kind of a conduit to do that. You know, and it's beneficial for us and for our readers to be able to have those interactions with the members of Congress.
I'm talking with LA Times political reporter Sarah Weyer. We will post a link to her new article at our website, capradio.org/insight. Sarah, let's talk about the seven freshman Californians. How are they doing on the Hill?
So far, they seem really well positioned. All of them have ended up on committees that either have jurisdiction over their own personal interests or jurisdiction over something that directly affects their new districts. These are all Democrats that were added to the delegation, and they all defeated Republicans. And you can imagine they are going to be in for a tough fight come 2020 as Republicans try to regain some of these seats. And so, you know, being well positioned like this gives them, you know, a chance to, you know, either pass legislation or say they're working on issues that people back home care about, and that could help them in the election. There's actually three of the new members, Representative Mike Levin and Harley Ruda down in Orange County, and T.J. Cox from the Central Valley, who all got subcommittee chairmanships, and which is fairly unusual for freshmen.
And how does that happen? How do you get a chairmanship?
They were selected by their colleagues in the committees with kind of a heavy say by the chairman and also a little bit of a say by the House Speaker as well.
Speaking of selection, I want to mention again the selection of Attorney General Javier Becerra to give the Spanish language response to the State of the Union. That was a decision by Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer. But it also speaks to Javier Becerra's background and his high-ranking position for a long time as a congressman. It might be something that people overlook or forget now that he's so entrenched as attorney general.
That's very true. I mean, for years he was seen as a, you know, potential successor for Nancy Pelosi, you know, become either leader or speaker one day. And he did make the decision to become attorney general instead. But he was, you know, really seen as a rising member here in the House.
What's the view of the lawsuits that have been filed against the Trump administration? I think the count is at least 45 right now.
Yeah.
With his time and being the first Hispanic attorney general, how's that looked on?
Well, in some ways, California's looked on the same way I think Texas was looked on during the Obama administration, of kind of trying to be that stopgap to what the administration was doing. You know, these lawsuits range from everything from the Muslim ban to how we treat people who were brought here by as children, as immigrants, to environmental protections or how the standards for fuel efficiency. And so it does really cover a wide range. In some ways, picking him to give the rebuttal was a little bit of a fork in the side for the president.
He served in Congress for 24 years and for a while was the highest ever ranking Latino member. All this power and position right now, though, isn't something that will necessarily last long into the future. You frame that in your article as well, Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, these things never last. Every 2 years, that's the benefit of democracy, is people get to pick new members of Congress and they get to pick new leaders in Washington. Pelosi did agree to a 4-year cap on her speakership in order to solidify the votes she needed to get the job. And there are a lot of people who have been waiting a long time to slip in and pick up the gavel, and there's no guarantee that's going to be a Californian. And you know, if the House were to flip Republican in the next few years, you know, even if Kevin McCarthy were to become a speaker, and that would still be held by a Californian, you know, the Republicans' reach in California is just not that great compared to the Democrats. And so the chances of them ending up in similar positions of power is just not as great.
I think the way you phrased it in the article is the state appears to have nowhere to go but down.
Yes, unfortunately, and we're looking even at the 2020 census, where if you know population growth rates continue as they are, California could either continue at the same level or lose a congressional seat. And that's just one more way that would kind of take away a little bit of the state's power in Washington.
Well, is this week feeling calmer than how the year began for everybody in Washington on the Hill?
Yes, I'd say so. This was the fifth shutdown I've covered, and it was very odd. It didn't seem like there was the same urgency to reopen the government as we've experienced in the past. And this was the longest shutdown in U.S. history at 35 days. I think it feels like everyone is holding their breath at this moment to see what comes out of these negotiations that are going on right now about funding at the border. They have until February 15th to come to an agreement, or we could potentially see the government shut down once again.
All right, Sarah, thanks so much for being available for Capital Chat today. I always appreciate when we can check in with you. And again, as I said, we'll link everyone up through our website to your article.
Thank you for having me.
That is Sarah D. Wire. She does cover the California delegation for the LA Times. And that link will be at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.